This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:33. Booking tickets with airlines rarely ever seems to be an enjoyable process. A bill in the House of Representatives would change that, but whether it'll make it better or worse depends on who you ask. If you follow me on Twitter, you may know that if I have a bad experience with an airline, I tend to rant about it. My recent vacation was cut short before it even started because of flight delays out of Yeager Airport in Charleston, thanks to a certain airline that shall go unnamed. It was that same morning, sitting in the airport before the sun even came up, that a story from the Washington Post was brought to my attention. That story was written by Christopher Elliott. Elliott is a travel columnist for the Washington Post and USA Today, with a background as a consumer advocate, co-founding Travelers United, a firm that, in part, works to lobby Washington on behalf of travelers. His latest Post column is titled, "The Transparent Airfares Act, Hiding the True Cost of Your Flight." After reading it, I decided to look into the legislation for myself. H.R. 4156 is just 4 pages long, but don't let that fool you. If passed, it could completely change the way you purchase airline tickets. The Transparent Airfares Act of 2014 would, quote, allow advertisements and solicitations for passenger air transportation to state the base airfare. Basically, the airline or third-party sellers like Kayak or Expedia can begin to advertise only the ticket price up front, hiding the taxes and fees until the very end, right before the consumer goes to pay. Charlie Leoka, Elliott's Travelers United co-founder, says the bill legalizes a practice called drip pricing.
It's a form of bait-and-switch advertising, where you get a low-ball price, and then later on, you find out that there may be as much as another $30 or $40 just in taxes and fees. And finally, at the end, consumers learn what the total price is.
The bill says taxes and fees don't necessarily have to be posted on the same web page either. They can be disclosed through a separate link on a website or through pop-ups, things Leoka says consumers tend to ignore or block on their web browsers. Leoka adds pricing tickets in this way makes it basically impossible for consumers to search and compare airfare prices. Supporters, however, maintain the bill does make ticket prices clearer, breaking down the prices so consumers can see exactly how much they're paying in taxes and hold the government more accountable. That's why Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito says she supports the bill and why she signed on as a co-sponsor.
You know, there's purposes for like TSA and other taxes that are and fees that are attached to your airline bill that you just assume the airline is charging you when in actuality it's the government taxing each ticket to a fairly large extent, actually.
Congressman Nick Rahal was one of the bill's original co-sponsors. He declined an interview for this story, but staffers pointed to a written statement from his office that says, quote, "Hiding the real cost of flying from consumers is just plain wrong. Today, Americans demand more disclosure, not less," end quote. Both Capito's and Rahal's stance, as you can imagine, mimics those of lobbying groups pushing for the bill, like the Airline Pilots Association. A representative declined to do an interview, but said in an email, quote, "The bill would help to move the often misplaced blame that airlines receive regarding airfare increases by highlighting government-imposed taxes and fees," end quote. According to OpenSecrets.org, the ALPA also happens to be one of the top contributors to Rahal's campaign, donating $10,000 for the 2014 campaign cycle. They were not listed as a top contributor in Capito's campaign funds. The airlines argue only they must hide government taxes and fees within their prices. In Elliott's article, he uses the example of car rentals. When you search for a car, you're quoted the base price. Then taxes and fees are added as you reach the end of your booking. Leoka says, however, that's like comparing apples to oranges. Those are local and state taxes added on rental cars, and airlines aren't subject to those taxes. The bill so far has passed its only committee reference, pushed through the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, of which Rahal is the ranking Democratic member. According to Leoka, it was discharged from the committee without discussion. Leoka says he's still pushing in Washington to keep the bill from hitting the full House floor, but it's likely to see a vote. There's been no counterpart bill introduced in the Senate. This morning, we bring you another story in our series and how the towns of Grafton and Matewan are turning themselves around as part of a special collaboration. As Beneduccio reports, the transformation process for Grafton continued over the weekend with a chance for community members to not only clean up their city, but to connect with one another, a crucial part of the effort.
Got a number of projects today. We're split up into teams. Some of the projects, we have Wave Petunia.
Grafton is the northern town representative in the Turn This Town Around project. The historical birthplace of Mother's Day, community members came together the day before to plant flowers, wash storefront windows, and apply mulch to gardens in the downtown. There was a great deal of positive energy in the air as all along Main Street, people in bright orange shirts with the phrase Turn This Town Around on them worked to clean up the town. Ann Summers is one of the volunteers who planted flowers.
I'm going to turn it around, and we're going to do it.
Just up the street, Alex Renneman and his 3-year-old son Zane did some weeding. Renneman owns a software business in Grafton. He grew up here, moved away, and then came back to settle down and opened up shop.
I think this Turn Your Town Around is a great project, and it creates and it also galvanizes a lot of the energy in the town, but, I think people of my generation and certainly, afterwards, I think somehow live in this myth that we can grow up in a community and live in it and not participate and not be a part of helping it. So, I'm here for that, but I'm also here for my son to experience that early on and know that that's a part of who you need to be if you're going to live in a community.
During this Turn the Town Around venture, the people of Grafton, along with Matewan and Mingo County, will take on projects to make the town not only look better, but improve economically. Alex says he's keeping an open mind about the entire project and doesn't have a particular goal or dream project.
I just want to see the community come together and put some things of value together that are part of a larger plan that really create value through the years to come.
Nearby, Julie Royce washes windows with a high school student. She's also a native of Grafton. Grafton's got some busy stores downtown, like a music store and a pool room, but there are several empty storefronts and buildings. Royce says when she was growing up, the town was a little busier, but not by too much.
It was pretty much the same. I mean, I can remember when I was very little, but that was just the 80s. So I remember there were a few more businesses. I believe when I was real little, JCPenney still had a catalog place here. It wasn't a regular store, but you could go in and order from the catalog. But all together, there really wasn't a whole lot then either. There was one diner down here that was still there and that kind of thing, and a pharmacy.
Since it was Mother's Day weekend, there were some visitors downtown during the cleanup. Mother's Day is perhaps the most important holiday in the town since the first Mother's Day was celebrated here more than 100 years ago. There's a shrine downtown that honors mothers. One visitor to the town is Tanya Ravel. She's from Grafton, Massachusetts, that is. She wants to visit every other Grafton in the world, and she decided to visit this one for the holiday.
I think it's wonderful. I'm especially happy to see so many young people involved because that's the future of your town. If the young people want to bring it back, then you'll have another generation working on it. And it's fun to see. I love to see it at home. I work on lots of village cleanups and beach cleanups. So I love beach cleanups and town cleanups.
Ravel says she will make another trip to Grafton, maybe when she's on the way to Grafton, Ohio, to see how this one has improved. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Grafton.
Turn This Town Around is a collaboration between West Virginia Focus Magazine, as well as the West Virginia Community Development Hub and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:42. Partly sunny today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s, overnight lows in the 60s. For Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers again, highs in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor. Online at stateelectric.com.
International students at Marshall are taking advantage of a new partnership that helps them better learn the English language. Clark Davis has the story.
Akira Uchida is an international student at Marshall from Japan. He's taking advantage of dialect lessons in the Marshall University Speech and Hearing Center.
And one class we do is we go into the classroom and we learn some slangs, not bad slangs, but, you know, what American students usually communicate. And also, like, how to take an order to a restaurant when you go to a restaurant, those kinds of basic things. I think that's really, really helped international students get used to American life and be comfortable talking to American students.
Uchida is part of INTU, an international program that Marshall has teamed with to bring more international students to campus. But with more international students comes a larger need to help them better understand the English language. So a partnership was struck this year with the Marshall University Speech and Hearing Center to offer an elective class to INTU students. As part of the INTU program, students take Pathways courses upon arriving to campus. They're aimed at helping them adjust to the United States academic system. Molly McGowan is coordinator for the Learning Resource Center at INTU Marshall.
Our students need more focused instruction, not only on pronunciation, but it's intonation, it's the stress of our language. Not only sentence stress, but word stress can change the meaning of a sentence, the meaning of a word completely, just because the second syllable is stressed and not the first.
McGowan says it's one thing to teach the international students English in a way that allows them to read a textbook. It's another to understand conversation in a way that allows them to understand lectures or what other English students are saying to them when they are hanging out over the weekend.
Also, if you're in a social situation and people are using a lot more idiomatic expressions and just talking in a comfortable, non-academic way, a lot of that goes way over everybody's head because we use metaphor, idiom, and those often don't have a direct translation with the words being used.
Akira Uchida speaks the English language well. As someone who lived in the United States from the age of 4 to 10 in New Jersey, and a year later in life as an exchange student in San Diego, he had a basis for the language before returning to the United States for INTU Marshall's program last fall. He says, though, it was still important to him to take dialect lessons because it's still a tough language to grasp.
For international students, like myself, including myself, we want people to be patient in yourself because you get stuck sometimes. It's going to be completely different. And the people who are patient, they, in order to communicate, they need to be patient for us because it's not like we're native speakers. We cannot, like, communicate back and forth that often.
Lukia Dixon is an assistant professor in the Marshall Department of Communication Disorders. Dixon is the supervisor of the elective course. She says the dialect modification sessions consist of 4 clinical groups of INTU Marshall students who meet with clinicians for 50 minutes once a week for the entire semester. Dixon says it's important to remember that international students aren't dealing with a speech disorder. Rather, they're trying to learn a language that has nuances that aren't present in other languages.
A person from a various country didn't have a particular speech sound that existed in their language, such as a TH, then we needed to teach that sound and give them some feedback, give them some practice with that.
Akira Uchida says his message to his fellow INTU students is always, you have to speak the language as much as possible.
I was telling these people, the students who are taking dialect coaching classes, I always tell them, hey, these people know your background, they know you can't speak English, but you have to realize yourself that you cannot speak English. In order to improve your English, you need to talk. You need to keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. Even if you're struggling, just keep talking.
McGowan says they hope to continue offering the elective to students each fall and spring semester. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can listen to and read stories on our website at wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.